from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
How often do you laugh? That is the question. Ursula, how often do you laugh between the hours of 9 and 12?
A lot more these days. Hanging out with you guys, it's always a bunch of laughs, I've got to say. Some of my funniest moments are both on air and off air, because you guys are nuts. But yeah, it makes for a better show. It just makes for a better day when you can laugh. It is such a stress relief.
It is. It really.
I wanted to say that. I mean, we promise we're going to get to all the big stories of the day.
We do.
Sure.
Yes. But hopefully we'll also give you reasons to smile.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it's not a good day.
And so when you get interviewed by us, you're going to get some questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy. All right, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guarding Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
We often talk about the mind-boggling cost of housing in our region and how it's impacting people who don't own homes and may never be able to. But what about the people who do own homes and can't afford to pay their property taxes? Well, there is some good news. There is property tax relief available. In 2020, the state legislature passed a law that expanded property tax relief to seniors and people with disabilities who earn less than $58,000 a year. The bad news, though, is that it's taking about 8 months for the King County Assessor's Office to process those applications. Because of that change in state law, there are just floods and floods of people who are looking for help. Now, G, when I was looking at this story, I was thinking to myself, okay, I think it's a great idea that low-income seniors, people with disabilities, get help. But there's also a lot of other people struggling. Is it unfair for seniors to get property tax relief when young people who are struggling to get into homes in the first place get nothing of the sort?
Nope, it's not unfair. Not at all. First, we have to identify a huge problem that both Ursula and I have been talking about, and we need to talk about even more, how we do and treat our elderly in this country. We do not have their best interests. We do not put them number one in this country the way other countries do. So, it is not unfair for them to get the tax exemption from their property taxes. And then if the young ones are, struggling right now. They're struggling to get inside of homes. Things are expensive. 22% increase in rent over there in Bellevue. A 28% increase in median home prices. In King County right now, the median home price is $1 million. Yeah, everything's expensive. But first, take care of our seniors.
I am in agreement, and I don't think it's unfair, because the whole point is low-income seniors or people with disabilities, these are people who have a harder time finding work. So the idea that you would include it to, you know, address anyone who is not making a certain income level, I think would be, first of all, unrealistic, untenable, unsustainable, and would just lead to other problems as well. So I don't see that this is a realistic, although, you know, given what we are dealing with right now, I understand that there would be some argument for it, but I would say no.
So, G, I agree with you both off the bat. However, I do think that there are some hypocrisies within our tax system. G, you've brought this up. The fact that you can deduct your mortgage from your taxes, right? There's a mortgage interest deduction. However, you can't deduct your rent from your taxes. Well, look, if King County and Washington State want to tackle the issue of housing affordability and keeping people in their homes who cannot afford to stay there currently, then why not a sales tax exemption or rebate for low-income people who are struggling to afford their housing? Why only for people who afford homes? The stated goal of property tax relief is preventing kicking people with seniors and disabilities out of their homes. There are also a lot of people in this state who work more than full-time jobs, who make less than $58,000 a year, and they are one paycheck away from homelessness. Why not apply that same logic to those folks as well?
Because, I think the idea is You, when you're a younger person dealing with this, you have the ability to, you know, potentially find a different job or different kind of work or opportunities for advancement that these other folks do not have. And again, what level would you get it to? I mean, so we're talking about 58,000 already. The King County Assessor's Office is flooded. And by the way, we should have the assessor join us.
Yeah, I would love to learn more about that program. Yeah.
But I mean, look at how many people are taking advantage of that is now available. So
Absolutely.
Imagine opening it up even more. Well,
and we don't begrudge seniors for their property tax relief. I certainly do not. However, there is a mentality or in a society that, hey, if you're young, you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You have the time, you have the energy to be able to do so. You could take that exact same mentality and say, you've made the bed that you're lying in. You're also sitting on a property that's worth $1 million. You have assets that you can leverage. Why would someone who is worth $1 million worth of assets, even if they're on a fixed income, be more deserving of society's relief than who is someone who's struggling to make it paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah, and I don't think that the people who are applying for this are in that position where they're sitting on this $1 million property. I'm going to guess that most of them don't fit into that.
What's the median home price in King County? $1 million. That's the house in the middle.
Yes, and there are many low-income seniors who don't have a house.
Absolutely.
You know, and...
And they should get sales tax relief too.
And speaking of these property taxes, we saw gentrification happen in the central district when the property taxes went up. And then imagine this: imagine being elderly and then having to move from the area in which you live because you can't afford to live there. Like the example we had this morning with someone where the rent has gone up $700 a month from $2,500 to $3,200 a month. And now she's on a fixed income, and now she's going to probably have to move from that community. That is just a heartbreaker.
And we did hear, though, from people who were texting in and emailing us saying, well, you know, I can't afford to pay $3,200 for rent, so she should move. I mean, and that is the reality that we're talking about. I'm just saying, I want to make sure.
Somebody did say that. And I just, why do we just lack empathy for others? Like, that is the part that's just hard for me when people say things like that. Well, $3,200 a month? Well, she should move. Like, it's really not that easy. Imagine your mother or your father or your grandparents, and they're living in this area, and then all of a sudden, wouldn't it be heartbreaking for them to tell you, hey, I can't afford to live here anymore, so now I have to go and live way out? Is that what you want for people? Again, this whole topic started because of how we are with our seniors. I'm going to stick to that.
Yes.
We do a horrible job taking care of our seniors in this country.
And the other thing I just want to mention as we're talking about that, because this is something near and dear to my heart, too. Even if right now you don't make a ton of money and you're young and you're not making a ton of money, you think that it's so far off that you're going to be, you know, having to worry about retirement. I'm telling you right now, even if it's a dollar, even if it's $3, if it's $5, whatever it is, start putting it away now, because more and more people that I talk to, you know, obviously I'm in my 50s, but, you know, people in their 60s or 70s keep saying the same thing over and over again. I wish I started earlier.
Okay, Ursula, I got to bring up something that came up during one of the breaks. It has to do with how we treat genders in the office place. So you mentioned one of our coworkers is pregnant. You mentioned holding a baby shower for them, and you threw in another coworker happens to be a guy and said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have him in on it too." And it struck me in that moment: why do we only have baby showers for women? Aren't dads parents too?
100%. Which I caught myself. Well, actually, you caught me, and I said, "Yeah, exactly." Yes, there's another colleague who recently took paternity leave, and I said, "Well, we're actually going to be honoring him as well." Mm-hmm. And I think it absolutely shouldn't be just about moms. I mean, no, the whole baby shower thing, some guys are into it and some guys just want to stay far, far away. They don't want the party favors. They don't want the little, you know, things that go along with it, and that they're happy if they're the mom to be has some celebration for them. But I love when both parents to be are involved. So I love that. But yeah, I think that we're still in many ways stuck in that whole old fashioned thing of baby shower. It's why? For the women.
Okay, then Ursula, why didn't we throw a baby shower for Chef?
I said the same thing. We were in the middle of, I think I was just traumatized during that whole pandemic.
So if Chef,
I did send him a gift.
If Chef would have been, if Chef would have been Gabby, if Chef was Gabby, would we have thrown Gabby a shower?
Well, first of all, when Chef and Gabby had their child, we were in the middle of the pandemic,
you
and
came to
I was
work
one of
day.
The. I was one of the few people who were in here. We weren't working together. Who would come for the shower? We weren't even allowed to have.
I cannot believe we are just doing this to men. Men deserve a shower too. Speaking of that, I just found out today that that's the case. I didn't even know.
I know.
I didn't even recognize it, and I felt awful. And the look on Chef's face, and I felt bad that we did not do anything for him, because we're definitely going to do something. I was super excited to find out we're going to be doing something for our coworker next week. And I'm ready to break some bread. You know, here you go. Make it. Give us some money. And then you're like, by the way, we're going to do something for Aaron Granillo too. I'm like, oh, we are?
Well, see, I mean, originally when we talked about this, I was like, Ursula, how could Aaron be the afterthought? But actually, I have to give you credit, because until you mentioned including him, I had never even considered the idea of, a guy in your workplace is having a kid. Maybe you should throw him a couple pairs of PJs and
whatever.
By the way, some jammies
and stuff. If Aaron, you're listening right now, yes, I was going to talk to you about this today. So you're just finding out.
Oh, you have
you
I
are,
was
no.
keeping it anonymous.
No,
but geez,
I just.
Yeah, throwing the names out there.
Well, can I ask this?
So I'd mention it to Katrina today, and I'm going to mention it to Aaron.
I'm setting up a registry. That's right. You guys can go ahead. I'm getting married. That's right. It's time. You got to set up a registry.
Well, how did you include yourself in here? This is not about you. This is about people having babies.
Oh.
It's like, I'm part of the male sex. I'll include myself. Thank you very much. Like some Cartier booties. Maybe a little Louis Vuitton Snuggie.
We do need on an agree to disagree. What? If you've been married to... several times.
Yes.
Should you still do a wedding registry?
That's a great question. Let's do it right now.
All right. You're the expert. Let's turn to you.
If you've been married several times, should you have a wedding registry? And I say you can't discriminate based upon someone's past. It's not, well, it technically is their fault, but, you know, it's not necessarily, I mean, it just happens. Life happens.
But your needs are different now, though, today, right? I mean, especially you have been living
absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely. I'm going to put on there Louis Vuitton and some Christian Dior. And you can go. You can donate.
Text us, 888-973-5476.
What do you think, Ursula? Do you think or do you frown upon that? Is it only for one time?
Well, here's the conundrum for you.
Okay.
You're going to Florida.
Uh-huh.
You're inviting very few people.
Uh-huh.
And then if you put a big old wedding registry together,
okay,
that might seem a little odd. Am I off on this?
Well, let me piece that together for you, Ursula, because G's reasoning for not inviting a whole bunch of people to Florida is because it wouldn't appear seemly to invite a whole bunch of people to spend $1,200 on an airline ticket, but putting Louis V on the gift registry is...
What do you think? Are you going to really put together a wedding registry?
Absolutely not.
Because if you do, I was going to buy something off of it.
Absolutely not. People keep asking Lillian, are we going to do that?
Yeah.
No,
but you
we're
know what
not.
You could do? Hmm. You could do a wedding registry that just has one thing.
Donate
vacation fund.
No. No, I would do a wedding registry, and it's some funds, and I'll have it go directly to an organization or something
that you
like
support.
That.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. There's no way I can just look myself in the mirror knowing that somebody's going to be giving us something. We don't need anything. No.
Isn't that the whole idea behind the wedding registry in the first place? Is that people used to get married at 18, heck, 16, right? 20. They're still living in their parents' house. They'd never had an apartment or a home before in their life. And the idea was to set that couple up with the items that they need to build a home together. That was the whole purpose in the first place. I know culturally that's changed a lot. But, I mean, most people have lived together for sometimes years before they've been married. They have a lot of the household goods. And so the wedding registry, for a lot of couples, has become this wish list of uber nice things. things that they can't afford to buy on their own, and they're hoping everyone will chip into.
Which is why I love the honeymoon idea, where when they include that, like you can donate to the honeymoon.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
But okay, well, y'all can donate to me getting to Destin, Florida. It's cost a lot of money.
But I also appreciate that when someone has a wedding registry,
yeah,
that you're starting a new life together. So even though, yeah, you might have household items,
yeah,
from your single days or a past marriage or whatever it is, you guys are going to be starting something new together. Mm-hmm. So I understand that as well.
Chandeliers all over. I'm going to get out of here before we get in trouble. Hey, coming up next, how about the idea of taking a mental health day? I got to share with you. Chef said something this morning that I had never thought about before. I can't speak for Ursula. I can only speak for myself when it comes to taking a mental health day. We will discuss that next. Gene Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. Loving the tunes, Nick. Thank you for coming back to us all recharged and with all your great tunes.
A little rusty around the edges, but you know, we'll move into it.
Okay, here's a question for all of you. If you work outside the home, can you ask your boss for a mental health day and say, but I want it 3 weeks from now? What would the reaction be? Is that a mental health day or is that a vacation day? G.
I think it is a mental health day.
Okay. But do you think that's how your boss would react if you were to ask in that manner? Just say, hey, Brian, on May 23rd, I don't even know what day that is, but I need a mental health day. How's that going to go?
I think it's going to be fine. Because the reason why is because if I were to come and say that, he would have no problem because he knows that that's not something that I usually say. So in this case, in me, he'd be like, okay.
So what happens, though, typically, but we are getting better, but what happens typically is that people wait until they're completely frazzled, burned out, at the end of their rope, and then they say, oh, my God, I need a mental health day tomorrow. I'm about to lose it.
Right.
And what the Wall Street Journal has this new handy guide, and it's all about what is the right way to ask for that mental health day. Mm-hmm. And they say it shouldn't be when you're really at your wit's end. It should be when you can plan it. And there's a right way to do it, too.
And I was today years old when I even thought of that. Like I hadn't, when you guys brought that up today, I said, wow. Because mental health day usually, in my mind, is a reaction to something. Oh, it was a rough day, or it's been a rough week, or this isn't going right. Hey, I need this day off tomorrow. Mental health day.
Yeah. I'm not running a temperature, but I am just, I'm done.
Yes. I never thought about like, hey, like you said, you gave an example of May 23rd. Hey, boss, listen, on May 23rd, I'm going to need to take a mental health day. And the reason why I think that is so much better, because here's what I believe. One, as soon as you put that day and it gets approved, so from now until May 23rd, you're already thinking and looking forward to that day.
It's like looking forward to a vacation.
Yes.
Because it's a vacation day.
So you're like,
there is a big difference between taking it as a sick day or using one of your very limited vacation days. And so that's the mind shift that is happening. And that's one of the things that helped with the pandemic. Mental health days, or what the Wall Street Journal says, is they're thriving because employers are understanding more and more that you want to have your employees have, you know, not dealing with mental health stress, mm-hmm. Which is a very real thing. Burnout. There's in a LinkedIn survey just in February, workplace burnout is at a very high level. Nearly 2/3 of all U.S. workers say they would take a day off from work for mental health. That's compared with 45% before the pandemic. So it's something that's the realization has come over time. But I know that there was a time that I just felt like I could not call in sick. And certainly to say, can I have a mental health day and it's scheduled? I would just assume that's my vacation
right.
day.
Right. I will say, Ursula, I just talked about this morning upstairs, not related to this topic, not with Boss Lady. No. This is one of the gym up there.
Yeah.
And what we are talking about is there's a lot of people today that the only reason why they are still at their job is because of the paycheck. Meaning there's a lot of people that don't love their jobs. So any opportunity to take a day off, they're going to take advantage of that because they don't love their job. Then there are those that are in a position today where they love their job. They actually look forward to going to work. And when you do that, I think that is such a blessing. I think that is something to be thankful for. And I think sometimes those folks are like, oh, you know what? I'm fine. My mental health is great. But it's tough going to work every day and you don't love it.
It is. But do you think it's still kind of a privileged thing to be able to say, hey, I want to take a mental health day and it's going to be 2 weeks from now?
Absolutely.
Right? Because
yes.
I would only consider that now. But when I first started working, or maybe the first 20 years that I started here, I would never do that because I would be like, oh, they're going to assume I'm a slacker. Are you kidding me? But what these experts are saying is not only should you schedule it, you should be looking at your patterns. Like, what are the days that are hardest for you? Well, don't you think everyone's going to be choosing Friday and Monday for their mental health day?
You're right. It is privileged, Ursula. I mean, we're blurring the line between what is a sick day, a mental health day, and what is a vacation. And there are a lot of companies that have decided, hey, we'll just call it PTO. The only problem with that is nobody ever gets the amount of time available to them increased. So you have nurses, for example, that have 10 days of PTO for a whole year. And that includes sick days, vacation days, and do you want to take a mental health day? I mean, honestly, I think we need legislation that says this is the minimum amount of time that people should be able to take off work and have available to them, whether it is sick, mental health, or otherwise. Because until it is defined in law, it all depends on your boss and your company. If you've got a great understanding boss, they'll be flexible with you.
Well, because in positions like ours, too, I mean, if we take a day off, someone has to replace you. So that does come at an additional cost and an additional inconvenience. What's that?
They might be better, too. You be careful. I'm just saying. You might be at work and you might take off and somebody come to replace you. And you'd be like, hey, so-and-so's better. Hold on.
Yeah, if you're worrying about that, you've got bigger problems.
But wait a minute. When I first started in radio, why do you guys think for the first 2 years I didn't take any time off? Because I was scared that I would, anytime, hey, G, can you work? Yep. Can you work? Yep. This person's out. Can you work? Yep. I did not take off because of fear that someone would come and I would think that someone was better. That's when I was insecure about my role.
That's because Drew Bledsoe's story, right?
Yeah. Oh, right? Drew Bledsoe. He got hurt. Tom Brady became
a man. But you bring up a great point.
Yes.
I think it's easier to do this if you have some time in a company, right? If you don't have a history of always calling in sick or whatever, because I think they'll be more apt to believe you if you've already put in, I guess, the time. But one of the other things that the experts say, like if you do that, take that mental health day, they say don't waste the day sleeping in. Don't binge watch Netflix that whole day because that apparently is not relaxing. Don't be scrolling through all the different apps. They say that you need to actually do something that brings you joy, that truly makes you relax.
How can this show not bring me joy? I had the opportunity to talk to the new King County Sheriff Select this morning, and then getting off the phone, I told her and said, hey, send the invitation when it's time to swear in and send it to G. Scott and them. To be able to do that on the radio, let you know, I've arrived, baby.
Who's included in the and them?
And them. when you go over, like, man, who all over there? Oh, man, Ursula and them. And so you just got to know, who all there? So in them is Ursula, Chef, Nick.
Okay.
It's an honor to be a part of in them.
Yes.
He's got them.
We're part of the and them. I love it.
You don't even really say them. You say in them. All right, I'm getting out of here. Text messages, feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Wow. What a fast show it has been. Now it's time for your text messages. Ursula, what do you got?
Okay, let's start with the topic of property tax relief. Tons of people texted in. 206 says, I'm a 62-year-old disabled Seattle homeowner. I've been in my house 24 years. 4 years ago, I became disabled. I'm so thankful for the help from the city on my property taxes. The program was a lifesaver for me.
Wow. 206 says, senior here, I'm living in a 50-year-old home with taxes of $8,000. I don't know how long we can stay here in Bellevue with our grandchildren.
And that is also something to consider. More and more grandparents are taking care of the grandkids. Yeah. 425 says, the whole property tax approach is wrong. Our property taxes are too high. Perhaps freeze the tax at the level from when the house was purchased. Think of those folks who purchased their ballot house for $40,000, and now they're paying for $1 million price. And don't even get me started on the fallacy of home ownership. We essentially rent our homes from the state and will be evicted if we don't pay up. And I actually texted this person back. I said, good idea. And then, Chef, you said this is something
California had a similar program, where they would freeze the property tax at the point of purchase, and it would not roll over and change. The rates would never adjust until the home is sold. It creates some tax-based issues, but it's also been relatively successful in keeping a lot of folks in their home.
360 says, I worked in an assessor's office in a small county. The people who cheat the senior relief program are the ones who have a corporation that shows a loss. Most people with a $1 million home are not able to qualify for the program. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that there are people that shelter themselves behind a corporation and then they do their work from there? What? I cannot believe this, Chef.
You know what? There might actually be an extremely good reason for that, too. And that is because in order to get all the benefits of Medicaid, Ursula, I believe you have to demolish your assets, correct?
You do. Yes,
so you might want to structure some of those assets into an LLC so that you actually have something in savings. It might not be all fraud.
And then the 425 said, and then Justin Puyallup, when it comes to housing, affordability, and childcare, Justin says, I'm a union operator and I have full custody of my 9-year-old daughter. I'm a single parent and I'm having to work security just because I can't find a daycare that I could either take my daughter there early enough or one that'll transport her to her private school. It is ridiculous what's going on right now. I went from making $49 an hour to $17 just so I can make sure that my daughter continues going to school. Justin, you are a great dad. And that's just unbelievable.
There's a text message that just came in. It was a message to our show page. G and Ursula, I am a postal worker and only clear around $1,300 every 2 weeks. I cannot afford to live in Bellevue.
Ouch. Okay, another one. So Jeff and Bonnie Lake says, I'm an elementary school teacher. My wife teaches high school. My daughter's 9. She's not old enough to be at home alone in the morning and afternoon. Due to the pandemic, it was impossible to find before and after school for our daughter. At any price, nothing. So one of us had to take a year off, me, because my wife has taught longer and has a higher salary. We are in a position to lose an income for a year. So I stay home with our daughter, and to make some money, I offer before and after care for other kids for $6 per hour per kid. I have a master's degree in education. I have a bunch of kids because parents are so happy to find anyone to care for their kids. My question, how much is someone worth who takes care of your child? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps. That is such a great question. All day, they teach your child. They feed your child. If you make $20 an hour, how much can you pay someone per hour to raise your child while you work?
How about people don't use their platform to demonize teachers? That'd be a good price to pay.
And then when it comes to wedding showers, 206 says, my husband and I didn't ask for gifts for our wedding, but each picked out a charity important to us and then asked guests to donate in order to honor our special day. It made us very happy to see how much our day impacted these charities that were near and dear to our hearts.
Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And it's about taking care of yourself. You cannot really be present for the people in your life if you aren't taking care of yourself. So make sure to not forget to take care of yourself.
Does anybody love Scooter the way you do?
Yes.
Who?
Mildred.
Mildred.
Hey, I mean, you've got Vito giving daily quotes. Give me a break. If you follow G on Facebook, Vito has daily quotes. I don't even do that with Scooter.
Ursula?
What was his quote of the day? I know. I'm going to start having Scooter do quotes. He's a wise, wise old man.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He's just going to say, I saw a squirrel today.
Where's the butter, Ursula?
He's going to say, sorry, Mom. Yes, I ate that too.
Yeah. Let's see. Vito's quote today was, let the past make you better and not bitter.
Wow. Another wise one. I love it.
Ursula, good show today.
Yeah, it was so
much
fun.
Did you laugh enough today?
I did, and I hope all of you did as well. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Stay with us.
Nick!
Yeah.
Thank you, Chef. Appreciate what you do. Thank you for cooking up a good show. Nick, it is good to have you back, brother.
I'm glad to be back, buddy, but Elephant in the Room probably didn't have the most popular take in scenarios today. I know I see the other side to the equation, the family life. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that being a parent, take care of kids is a job in and of itself. Being a kid myself, I appreciate my mom all the way. Gotta give a shout out to all the folks home, take care of the kids, but I still respect the others at work grinding too, helping out all for the family. Helping out with those showers, too. By the way, G, men can have showers as well. I hope you've had one since your trip so you're not stinking up the joint for Mildred or this family right here. Glad we're all back together.
Love you, Nick.
Love you,
Love
Nick.
Love you, too.
Yeah. We do this again tomorrow. You know what we say at the end of this show. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.